Hello and welcome to Digital Insights, featuring topics from the BoagWorld.com blog. My name is Paul Boag, and on this podcast I offer advice on user experience and digital transformation. Today I want to talk to you about how to go about building content-heavy websites, because if you're anything like me, you spend most of your day working on content-driven websites. You can often feel left out, can't you? Feel like you're not in the cool kids party. Best practice like agile, continual iteration, and user feedback don't seem to quite sit well when it comes to serving up lots of information rather than some killer web app. When I talk about content-driven websites, I'm referring to any websites whose primary aim is to convey information rather than to complete tasks. Typically, these are marketing-driven websites, but they could offer customer support or be of an academic or journalistic nature. They do also allow users to complete some tasks, but they're things like signing up for a newsletter, and that's only a small part of their purpose. Ultimately, the way many of us create content-driven websites isn't really optimal, and we need to do something about it. These sites typically start off from the wrong premise, don't they, if you think about it? We begin by asking ourselves, what do we want to say, rather than what does the user want to know? And this mentality originates from creating content from other channels where it's necessary to grab a person's attention and hold on to it as long as possible. But when designing websites, the premise is different. People have chosen to visit your site already and to some degree express an interest. The emphasis is then on answering their questions to their satisfaction rather than grabbing their attention. But that is not the only problem with how we tend to approach content-driven websites. In many cases, they are created using a process more akin to waterfall than agile. We create the designs and get them signed off. We then build design templates within a content management system and pour content into that content management system. Often the design is created even before there's any content around, and so there's little relationship between the two. Content is essentially just poured into design buckets. The more diligent amongst us refuse to start design until we have some real content to work with, but that often leads to others rushing copy to prevent the project getting delayed. Of course, then there's usability testing. Often it's neglected as we're still adding content up until the day of launch. But even when it does happen, it tends to be towards the end of a project where nobody wants to the hassle or cost of changing things. If all of this is sounding suspiciously familiar, don't lose heart. In recent years, I've been trying a different approach, and for the most part, it seems to work. It's an approach that develops design and content together in partnership, while at the same time allowing space and time in the project for regular testing throughout. I tend to kick off content-driven projects pretty much as you would expect. I begin by establishing a prioritized list of business objectives for the site so that we can measure success and be clear about what the role of the site is. But after this point, things quickly deviate from the standard waterfall process that you so often encounter. Instead of immediately jumping into design and discussions about brand and messaging, I prefer to focus on better understanding the people who will be visiting the website. Look, admittedly, this kind of upfront user research is far from revolutionary, but it's surprising how little it happens in many organizations, even in 2017. What may be slightly more unusual is that my research typically focuses heavily on establishing the questions that users want answered when they visit your website, questions both from first-time visitors and those returning. Collecting these questions is relatively straightforward. We start by interviewing users. However, there's a limited number of users we can talk to, so another approach is to run a survey on the existing website asking users what questions they have. Finally, speak to customer-facing staff, such as those in call centres, because that will yield a significant number of questions that they repeatedly hear. The chances are that the final list of questions will be pretty extensive, but that's okay. However, some of the questions will be more important than others. We need to be able to identify these to ensure that they're easy to find and that users don't get lost amongst the plethora of less critical inquiries. That's where Jerry McGovern's top task analysis can help. It's a simple process that surveys users to understand which questions or tasks they care about the most. And Jerry has written an excellent article on the List Apart site covering the whole process, so I'm not going to repeat that here. What the top task analysis will leave you with is a prioritized list of questions that users have, and that becomes the core of the site's content and helps us iterate towards a useful website. Before we can start iterating towards our completed website, however, we first need to establish its information architecture. Our questions can be the basis that determines that structure. We can use the questions as the basis of a card sorting exercise, where users organize the top questions into groups that make sense to them. These groups can then help inform us as we develop the site's information architecture, making sure that the site reflects the user's mental model rather than any organizational structure. Once we have an initial draft of our information architecture, we can start building our site and testing it, even though we've got no design or copy written at this stage. Content-driven websites are almost always built on a content management system. So while we're researching users' questions, the developers can put an out-of-box installation on a staging server somewhere. We can now start building blank pages into our CMS reflecting the site's information architecture. All the pages need on them is some method of navigating between pages and navigational links and bullet points of the questions we anticipate answering on that particular page. That immediately gives us something tangible to test. Even with no design or content, we can still check the information architecture. Can users find the answers to the questions they're looking for? And does the structure make sense to them? With this established, we can now start to increase the fidelity. The designer can start to introduce some basic typography and layout to critical pages. Meanwhile, the content writers can begin fleshing out pages with a few preliminary bullet points answering the questions on the pages that we added earlier. Or, where appropriate, temporarily cross-linking to pages within the existing site that answers that question. At this point, we can carry out some further testing. We can see if the visual hierarchy established by the designer allows users to spot essential content. Equally, we can test the content linked on the old site to see if it answers users' questions properly before we start mindlessly migrating it from the former site. In the next round of iteration, the copywriter can begin adding some rough copy to the site, while the designer can start refining the design with improved typography, color, and other stylistic elements. Again, this can be tested with real users to make sure that the new copy answers the questions and the design improvements are aiding rather than distracting. So, the process continues round after round, adding more fidelity to the copy and the design, moving the site ever closer to something that is an improvement on the existing one. At this point, we can push it live. But even then, further rounds of iteration can continue to evolve and improve the performance of essential pages. Of course, this all sounds good in principle, but it does require a shift in thinking. For a start, it does require different thinking from designers. Many designers still use Sketch or Photoshop to design high-fidelity mock-ups, and this approach suggests they iterate towards a final design in the browser. That said, I don't believe that the two approaches are mutually exclusive. There's nothing wrong with experimenting with more refined design solutions early on in Sketch, as long as there's an understanding these will change based on user feedback. That design can be slowly rolled out and tested on the staging server over time. Another change in attitude is around content migration. Typically, there is an assumption that we'll migrate content from the previous website to the new one en masse. The idea of creating all new content can seem insurmountable. In reality, that's not what I'm proposing. I'm not proposing creating all new content. We can migrate a degree of content that answers specific user questions, but that shouldn't happen en masse or blindly. Also, you will find it unnecessary to rewrite anywhere near as much content as you think. You will almost certainly discover that a significant amount of copy you believe needs migrating can actually be retired because it doesn't answer a user's question. The advantage of this is you're left with a considerably less content to maintain. However, probably the most significant shift in thinking is showing work in progress. Whether designers or content specialists, many of us still suffer from this desire to make everything perfect before we let others see it. But this approach puts content and design out much earlier in the process, exposing it to criticism. And that is a challenging mental shift for many to make, but it is imperative. You might be thinking that letting stakeholders and clients see work in progress is a recipe for disaster, but I'll tell you what, it's not. In fact, in my experience, they respond favorably to seeing a site emerge before their eyes. Instead of waiting weeks or even months before they see anything, they can start to see a skeleton of a website within days of kicking off the project. Psychologically, that makes a huge difference. Also, by seeing the website develop step by step, they feel more engaged with the project and learn about the process behind its development. That makes stakeholders much less likely to reject the final solution. Finally, if they do have objections, these are identified early in the process when they're still easy to fix. Surely that's preferable than waiting until the last minute when everything is difficult to change. I'm not suggesting that evolving a content-driven website in this way is a perfect solution, but I have found that iterating towards a final site by systematically increasing the fidelity of design and content leads to better results and less internal resistance. But if you don't take my word for it, that's absolutely fine. Try it for yourself. Start small. Jumping into a major redesign of your entire website might feel like too big a step for all concerned. So perhaps, you know, try this approach on a new microsite or a section of a site that you're updating. Alternatively, try implementing just a part of the process that I've outlined. Maybe just start a project by collecting user questions rather than starting with the message your organization wants to push out. Or perhaps you could try a small amount of prototyping rather than producing pixel-perfect design comps. My point is that you can pick and choose what works for you and what doesn't, and you don't need to change everything overnight. What matters is that you start to allow user feedback to influence the design and content of your sites.